A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Chof, Shabbos 120a, pagination 239. First wide line, we're starting in the middle of the line, which you'll see your bearings, is the middle of a Mishnah. We're dealing with a person who encountered, God protect us, a fire on Shabbos, affecting his home. And we're told that he's allowed to remove enough food for his needs for Shabbos, for his meals. In addition to that, the Mishnah tells us, Va'omer la'acherim, he's allowed to tell other people, Bo'u ve'atzilu lochem, go save, and you're allowed to keep it for yourself. He's having a problem that he himself can't take out as much as he would love to take out. So he tells them, you can take out for yourself. You'll be able to keep it. And of course, once you do that, they start grabbing. And if they're wise people, osim imo cheshbon achar ha-Shabbos, they're able to make a calculation with him after Shabbos. What's the calculation? So, if they're making a calculation, that means they're giving him something, but they want something in return. If they wanted to keep it, they would keep it. But if they're wise people who are making a cheshbon, a calculation, what are they doing? They're returning the food to him, but they want to be paid for the exertion that they did during Shabbos. Very interesting Mishnah. Sounds like we're drawing all kinds of lines as we go. Number one, what were they doing until now? Until he said the words, Bo'u v'hatzilu lachem, go save for yourself. What were they doing until now? I guess they were sitting behind the police line tape, watching, maybe gossiping. I don't know what they were doing. But he gives a call and says, go save for yourself, and suddenly people come a-running. Okay, step one. What were they doing until now? Why didn't they help? They didn't help. And secondly, they're going to help now, but they're going to help, but they want to get paid. Drop down to the Gemara, which is the end of a line about midway in the wide lines between the top and the bottom. The end of a line, Cheshbon Mai. It's added two dots. You see it? A little lower. Midway. Right here. Good. Cheshbon mai avidatei. What is the cheshbon over here? What's the calculation all about? Me'efkeru kazachu. They're acquiring it from ownerless property. The fire is raging. They could keep the whole thing themselves. It's comparable to a beach chair that's being washed away by the overflowing river. In the midst of Sandy. Yeah, the beach chair is being washed away. And you happen to be standing by the lighthouse in the middle of the thing. And the beach chair goes by and you grab it. It's yours. It's ownerless. The situation has created an ownerless piece of property. Amar Rav Chista says, Midas Chasidus Shanukan. We're dealing with, I don't know how to translate Chasid. Saintly, perhaps? Rashi tells us people who are willing to give of what they own because there is the slightest aspect of Avera. He's willing to relinquish of his own. In other words, it's his. He took it from a raging fire. It's his. But he doesn't want something that has a little bit of an Avera associated with it, and there is a little bit of an Avera associated with this. Because the person didn't really say, go save for yourselves, willingly. I mean, really, he would have liked that he didn't have to relinquish it. In fact, he might have even wanted that other people should help him without the requirement of reward. In which case, he would get the favor that many of us kind of expect. It's a little odd here. He's allowed to expect assistance. We load a person's animal to help him. We unload a person's animal to help him. We bring him Bikur Cholim food. Why exactly aren't they helping? The guy is not really willingly giving up this stuff. But he sees what's going on. He sees they're standing by. Maybe because it's Shabbos, they don't want to sully their hands. He calls out, go save and it's yours. At least it shouldn't go to waste. So these people will return the food to him after Shabbos. They don't want it for themselves. Omar Rava, Rava says, there's a little bit of a problem with what you just answered. Chasidi igre de Shabbata shakli. Do chasidim, do saintly people get paid for Shabbos work? He's making a calculation after Shabbos. The Mishnah clearly stated that the case was the type of people we're dealing with. He's making a calculation after Shabbos. So chasidim wouldn't do that because there's a nidnu davera, there's a little aspect, it starts tasting a little bit like sinful behavior because you're being paid for Shabbos work. El Amar Rava, Rava says, hacha, over here, it's not dealing with a chasid, a saintly person, it's dealing with a yirei shamayim askinon, a person who fears heaven, it's a different level. A yirei shamayim recognizes that the person did not make it ownerless willingly, but on the other hand, he's not as great as a chassid that he's willing to relinquish what's rightfully his just to avoid a sin. He doesn't want to transgress, and he doesn't want something that the guy doesn't really want to give him, but he wants to be compensated. I think many people fit into this category, perhaps. I'm not going to take anything that's even slightly you have a complaint against me. But on the other hand, I'm a person too. I'm not willing to relinquish what's mine in order to do you the favor, necessarily. He doesn't want to benefit from other people unfairly. But I'm not going to schlep your boxes of rolls for nothing. You got to give me something. Deal's a deal. I don't mean a deal because they're not allowed to make a deal, but like that attitude of it's only fair. Pay me at least for my time. And that's why he's saying like this. If they were wise people, not wise people, businessmen, who are going to figure out how to get whatever's coming to them, but the yadi dikhaigavna labs char Shabbosu, but they're wise in Hilchas Shabbos. They realize that if I take it, it's really mine. And when I give it back to him, I'm allowed to give it back to him, but telling him, but a little bit of what I'm giving back to you, you have to give to me as payment for my efforts. And that's not called Schar Shabbos. That's not called wages of Shabbos, because we didn't make such a deal beforehand. It's like, it's all mine, I'll give it all to you, but pay me for my trouble. And therefore, osim imo cheshban la'achar Shabbos. This cheshban achar Shabbos, this calculation after Shabbos, is what the Mishnah is describing, which Rava says is the status of a yirei chet, a person that we can respect. He wants to get paid something. He worked hard, and that balance is a phenomenal balance. Again, like I mentioned, even if you never have a fire on Shabbos, but the Gemara is outlining such an insightful level of doing business. There are people, perhaps a very wealthy person, perhaps, who just like, he'll give generously of his own, even. That's the chassid. And fine, he'll schlep, he'll give it to you, and he's done, and he asks for nothing. But then there's the yirei chet. He's going to give it to you. But, you know, let's be fair about this. Don't leave me out, b'pchi nefesh, like with nothing. And each one of the, and obviously there would be another group of people who would just keep it. Okay. One other thing to explore. The wording of the Mishnah, again, the first wide line, is he told people, ba'u kam v'hatzilu lachem, and grab for yourselves. Just to explore. What would have happened if he didn't say anything? He didn't relinquish rights. The fire is raging, and he did not say the words, go save for yourself. Or he would have said the words, go and save, but he wouldn't have said, lochem, for you. What would the status be? According to some poskim, that is precisely the case of a zuto shel yam that is in the process of happening but hasn't happened yet, and they have an obligation, or if not an obligation, but it's not hefker yet. It's not open to the public. Because if you're not willing, if you're going to stand on ceremony, either because it's Shabbos, it's because you don't want to help him, or because you're busy gossiping, he'll find somebody else, a Jew, a non-Jew, someone else who will help him. It's not yet the status of hefker. It's not yet ownerless. This is not, you know, 4 miles down the river, a guy pulls out a beach chair from the... Right now, it's still here as the river is rising. At this point, it's still Ashavas Aveda to help a guy with his lost object. It's not free yet. It's only because he said, go say for yourself, that the rights were relinquished. And I think that addresses a little point that's very troubling here. Again, like I mentioned, we're busy helping people all the time. That's chesed. Why suddenly did it become ownerless? And the answer really is, it became ownerless because he said so. Because if he would not have said so, according to these poskim, the owner still has the ability to call the non-Jews to help him, to call the Jews who are a little bit more helpful to help him. Maybe some people don't want to come near the fire because it's rage, whatever. I mean, there are reasons people might not want to help him, but it's still up for grabs. There might be people who will. It's not ownerless. You can't grab it. Right? And we mentioned this often. The laws of freedom doesn't mean that if I put my pen on the table and forget it there, so someone else can just rip it off and say, oh, it's mine now. It doesn't make any sense. That's Hashavas Aveda. At that moment, it's still Hashavas Aveda. It's only later when Yiyush truly kicks in. And as the fire is raging, it's still not Yiyush. Because he can still try to save it. Yeshikoach, have a great day.